You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Welcome along, everyone. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. All three of us in the studio this week for the European Masters and the Deutsche Bank Championship. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you to preview the two events this week. But we're going to start with a little bit of Ryder Cup chat with Darren Clarke announcing his wildcard picks on a Tuesday afternoon. And he's gone with Martin Kaymer, Lee Westwood and Thomas Peters. And Mike, I suppose one of those was, you said it to me off air, locked in when he was given the job.
Yeah, Lee Westwood was a pretty much a certainty. And I'm a little bit surprised he didn't pick Chubby Chandler as well. but he's always going to pick Lee John, wasn't he? That was a certainty.
It was. Dave, are you surprised by Darren Clarke's three picks? I suppose what Thomas Peters did last weekend in Denmark heavily influenced that third selection.
Yeah, Westwood was a lock, as Mike says. Kaymer was a lock. Was there anyone else, obviously, controversially left out?
Russell Knox would be very controversial. Well, he's top 20 in the world, yeah. Lots of experience in America.
Two-time winner on the PGA Tour this season.
20th in the world, yeah. If you can, if Europe are able to leave top 20 players in the world out, all of a sudden that's
they must have a good team this time round.
Yeah, and they haven't.
I guess
so. It's strange.
Peters played with Clarke, didn't he, the first two rounds last week, which probably helped. And he's won three times in 12 months, which is no bad thing, is it? Although Knox has won twice.
He's won low grade affairs, hasn't he, in comparison to what Knox has won. I like Peters a lot, so I kind of understand his pick. And Kaymer had to be picked. Westwood's probably, albeit we knew he was going to be, probably is the most controversial one, would you say, Dave?
I think so, yeah. I wouldn't have Lee Westwood in this team. I'd have picked Knox over Westwood. I think I'd have maybe even picked Luke Donald over Lee Westwood, given his record in the Ryder Cup. That record in the Ryder Cup that Donald has is superb.
Very good, yeah.
And he's a top-class putter, whereas Westwood's not. You want players that are going to make lots of birdies in the Ryder Cup and put pressure on the opposing side.
Although sometimes it's like the football, isn't it, when you get like a international tournament World Cup squad picked and there's a big hoo-ha about, and then they don't play anyway. So I reckon Peters will probably be rolled out in one of the four balls and then play the singles and that's it.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's a fair point that day, because over a long period of time, people have worried too much about the weakest Europeans in my mind, because they don't tend to play very much, and then therefore America have been too short in the market. But I look at the European team this time and I think there's quite a lot of weakness. They've got weakness in depth, in my opinion.
Face,
yeah. So I really fancy the US this time, I have to say.
Just quickly, the latest betting here with William Hill ahead of the event, which starts in late September. United States 8-13, Europe 13-8, and the tie in the betting at 10-1. We do have top European player on the William Hill website as well. If you're looking at that market, Rory McIlroy is the 5-1 favourite, with Henrik Stenson and Sergio Garcia both in the betting at 6-1. Let's get stuck into this week. We've got the European Masters, the Omega European Masters, first up on the European Tour. And Danny Willett is the 12-1 favourite to win the championship. Tyrrell Hatton is 14-1. Alex Noren, 16-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 16-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 20s. David Lipsky and Lee Westwood both in the betting at 25-1. And a whole host of players, 33-1. And it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. This, Dave Tindall, is a bucket list event for me. If I was going to go to one championship on the European Tour, I think it would be this one. I presume you've been, Dave?
I've not been, no.
There you go.
But I have a relevant story.
Go on.
Because it's relevant to my pick. Do you want to get going with the picks?
No, or? No. I'll give you a little bit of detail about the golf course first, because...
You're not rolling out your Richie Ramsey story again, are you? Yes, you are, aren't you?
How many times have you heard that, Mike?
More than once.
So you've guessed how I'm going to tip then.
Just before we get to the bets, it is Crans-Sur-Sierre that has hosted this championship since its inception.
Yes.
It is an unbelievable golf course in terms of the views. And it's unique because it's so short as well. It measures only 6,848 yards. And because it's played at altitude, makes it seem even shorter. You've got drivable par fours, five par threes, reachable par fives. And the views are absolutely spectacular. It's the one event that I want to go to.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be brilliant if you're a spectator. And I think as well, it's quite one of these quirky layouts. You do get course specialists, I think, and on the other side of that, you do get players who continually struggle, but I think they just go there for the views.
Yeah.
And someone like Chris Wood, he's got a terrible record there, really. And is that because he's too tall, some sort of theory? Because you're getting a lot of weird side hills.
Only hobbits.
Lances.
Succeed.
Side hill stances on this course. So like Bjorn won it twice in 3 years. You get a lot of guys repeating and repeating, and that's why I might go for a certain Scott.
Okay.
Can't guess that one, dude.
do you think there's anything you need in terms of stats here, Mike?
It's a greens in regulation course. Small greens, and you got to hit the greens. I don't think the tees is that crucial. It's a second shot course, and then you've got to put pretty well, I guess, as well. The usual sort of stuff, yeah.
We've kept you in suspense long enough, listeners. Dave, what's your first pick for the event?
Well, funny you should ask. Richie Ramsey.
Oh!
Yes, there you go. He won it in 2012. He missed a cut the year later, and here's the chance to trot out the story, because he was doing a load of this other promotional stuff. Like, I interviewed him up a mountain.
Yes.
And I know that's going on a bit, but I think it is relevant. You know, defending champions, they do have this other pull on their time, and he was clearly not as well prepared as he would have been had he had a normal week. Mm. Then without all that defending champion media stuff, he returns the following year, comes eighth, shot a 62 in round one. Then last year he was tied 10th, so he's got a first, an eighth, a 10th in three of the last 4 years, and one of those, as I say, that defending champion year is excusable. So fantastic course form. Now, all I want to see from him really is in good enough form to justify a bet this year. I think he is. He was sixth in the Scottish Open a while back, did all right in the match play, then tied 26th in the Made in Denmark. That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
And with doubts over Danny Willett at the front of the market, Danny Willett hasn't played well in a number of months, and it's not the greatest field, really. So I think 33 on Richie Ramsey on this particular course is fine.
Very good. Is that your sole pick in the event then?
Yes,
Dave?
It is.
I've got two.
You go first then.
Okay, I'm going Richard Stirney as my number one selection here. Also in the betting at 33-1. We mentioned him on last week's podcast, Mike. Now
yes,
that he's got over his injury problems, I think he'll have a big week. He's in form, playing well. Top 15s in four of his last seven events highlight his well-being at the moment, and he's shown up in some well-contested tournaments as well, some top tournaments on the tour recently. 10th in the Irish Open, 11th in the Open de France, 13th in the Scottish Open, and that form reads very well going into this week. Bounced back from the miscut of the Czech Masters with a 10th in the Made in Denmark on his last start last week. And in two of his last three starts on this golf course, he's finished inside the top 15. He hasn't actually played this event each and every year, Richard Stirney, but hopefully it's significant that he's added it to his schedule this year.
Yeah.
And having been close to picking him last week, I'm going to select him this week at 33s.
Yeah, good grange and regulation man, isn't he? My pick, Dave, is the Swede Alex Norén, who's been in great form in recent months. Won this actually in 2009 and was ninth in 2011, so can clearly play Crans very well. On his last outing, he was second in the Paul Laurie match play. Prior to that, a couple of top 50s in the majors, in the Open and in the PGA. And, of course, he won the Scottish Open on the prior to that after an eighth in France. So he's been in great form, really. That's all I can really say about him. Loves the course, won here. Hasn't played here since 2012 when he was 27th. But, past winner, in good form, in a field that isn't remarkably deep. 16-1 is a decent price.
Yeah. I wonder why he hasn't played here since 2012.
He's had injuries, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has had injuries.
Yeah.
It was actually the scene of his first win, which always makes them get a bit gooey, doesn't it, when they go back? So,
you've mentioned my second pick, Mike. I'm going Paul Laurie. As my my outside chance here, hopefully. 80-1, Paul Laurie. I think we've seen over the years that this course doesn't discriminate as far as age is concerned, because Thomas Bjorn, as you mentioned, two-time winner. Miguel Angel Jimenez has got an amazing record here.
He could play well again, Jimenez, couldn't he? He's playing great.
Yeah, and he's taken the title once in the last half a dozen years. I'm hoping that Paul Laurie on the wrong side of 40 now can triumph here. I think he's playing well enough. Hasn't won on tour since the 2012 Johnny Walker. I think he's still probably got one more big tour win in him. And he was very impressive last week in the Made in Denmark. Fifth in driving accuracy, first in greens in regulation last week, which bodes very well for this championship. Tons of experience at Crohn's, as you'd imagine, having played here 15 times. Finished 12th in 2013 and 6th the year before in 2012. Actually finished runner-up in this championship way back in 2002. I think 80s is fair in this field, and given that we have seen that the age is just a number in this championship, so 80-1, Paul Laurie is my second selection.
Yeah, interesting.
Who are you going for? Second pick.
Well, I've only got one pick.
Just one pick.
Only one pick in this.
Sorry, I thought you had two.
If I was going to have a second pick, I did look long and hard at an old favourite of mine, Matteo Manassero, who was third here in 2010, and he's got some decent form. In the last couple of months, he was third in that Scottish Open I mentioned with Norren, that Norren won. So he's, I just have a feeling he might play well this week, but I'm just hoping for a little bit bigger than 50, I think he is, Dave.
Yeah, he is 50, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he has been so hit and missed that maybe his 50s is still not quite enough to tempt me in, but I'll be watching him in running, because I've always thought this was a track, I remember him playing ever so well in 2010, that suited him, so, and he's got a lot of ability.
I like David Libsky, but he's halved in price following his place last week.
Yeah,
at 50-1, he's now 25-1. Having tipped him last week, it's difficult to get involved when he's half the price.
Yeah, but he got plays for you.
Yeah, he did get plays, so yeah. That was nice last week at 50s. But solid defence of his title last year. Played very well the last couple of weeks, and golf course clearly suits him, Dave.
Yeah, another one with similar credentials. Played well last week and done well on this course. Bradley Dredge, I guess people might look at 33s, runner up last week. His last win actually came on this course,
but that must have been a decade ago,
exactly 10 years ago. Yes, and he's had other good finishes. I think he's had three of the top four. So Bradley Dredge is an obvious one, but he does now struggle to get over the line.
He's probably a top 10 guy, isn't he, this week, if you're looking in that market. Another couple I just want to mention towards the top of the betting, Tyrrell Hatton will undoubtedly play well, I think. Third the last 2 years here, and just a host of top finishers.
You wouldn't want 14-1 on him, though, would you?
No, I think 14s is very short. I think it's definitely short enough.
He's been in great form this year as well, of course. Yeah. You couldn't price him much bigger, but that just doesn't lure me in, I'm afraid.
And want a big price. I was tempted to go for, despite a string of missed cuts recently, Rickard Karlberg at 80-1 has some form around this venue. He's missed his last four cuts, but he's really talented and finished second in the BMW PGA Championship, which was a top draw finish early on in the season. I think 80s in this field stood out to me despite those string of missed cuts.
Yeah, I mean, there was a spell where he was stringing top 10s together every week. But he's just had a dip, but you know, he'll get it back. It's just whether you time it right. But 80s is good.
Very good. Shall we move on?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We've got the Deutsche Bank Championship, which is the second event in the FedEx Cup race. This weekend. This tournament does run Friday to Monday. It's scheduled over Labor Day weekend in Boston. So punters have an extra day in which to finalise their selections if they wish to do so. And Jason Day is the 6-1 favourite. Dustin Johnson is 10-1. Jordan Spieth 12-1. Rory McIlroy 12-1. Henrik Stenson is 16s. Adam Scott 22s, 25-1, Justin Rose, Patrick Reed and Ricky Fowler here with William Hill. And very different test to last week, this one, Mike. Scoring will be lower. Ricky Fowler won by one shot from Henrik Stenson in last year's edition, benefiting from a double bogey by the Swede on the 16th hole on Sunday on that occasion. And par 71 measuring 7,297 yards. But whereas last week at Bethpage Black, we saw that rough was pretty thick, didn't we? Ankle high and tough to extricate the ball from. This week's kind of different.
Yeah, it'll be low scoring, won't it, Dave? Be low scoring this week for sure. More birdies. More of a putting contest, you could argue.
Having said that, it was TPC Boston did play as the third toughest par 71 on tour last season. That's from Bob Bolton's power rankings.
Yeah, that's familiar. Yeah.
I think greens in regulation and proximity to the hole are probably stats that may be worth looking at this week.
I've looked at scrambling.
Have you?
A lot of good scrambling stats have been owned by the winners of this, so that's something I like.
How many picks do you have, Dave?
Two.
I've got two.
I reckon we'll coincide on one of them.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Who's going to lead us off here? Do you want to, Mike?
I will then.
Go on.
I'm taking a little bit of a risk in my first pick because he pulled out of last week's event with the Barclays with a knee injury, but I think it was only precautionary. I just think he hadn't played that well and was tired after finishing second in the Olympics, seventh in the PGA and winning the Open. So Henrik Stenson, who has form figures of second, 26th and first here in the last 3 years, who's a very good tee to green man, greens in regulation, on tour, good figures around birdie average and shots approaching the green. I just think he's been in fantastic form, probably needed that little break from the Barclays. Finished on Thursday. I will be leaving my bet relatively late just to make sure he is fit to go, but all the indications, certainly from Darren Clark anyway, who said it was a precautionary withdrawal for Stenson and intimated it was pretty much nothing to worry about. Loves the course and has been in fantastic form. Who can forget his fantastic performance at Troon? And he loves it here. So 16-1, I think it's generous. It's probably that price because of the withdrawal, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's drifted.
He pulled out the US Open, then he won in Germany the next
Correct.
Week.
Yeah,
so.
He did.
He's done it a few times in his career, I think. I don't think that was an isolated incident where he's withdrawn and then played well the next week.
It's basically probably just giving you like two or four free points, isn't it, I think?
I think so. That was exactly my point, Dave. If had he not played the Barclays, he would have been about 10 or 12, wouldn't he, I would think.
Yeah, no, I agree. Henrik Stenson, 16-1.
He won't play if he's not fit, will he? It would be my guess as well. I might live to regret that. He might withdraw after four holes, but hopefully not.
Dave Tindall?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gary Woodland. Anybody?
No.
No,
okay. No, Gary Woodland.
Normally
Woodland
it's
men
the
here.
Gary Woodland fan club to my right, but I'll have to fly the flag for him this time.
No, we're in the fan club still.
Yeah, okay. Fairly obvious. He was fourth at the Barclays, where his stats were great. He was first in the all-around. Now, some of the stats we've talked about, he was sixth for greens in reg and fourth in scrambling. It's always a nice combination. He's played a lot of good golf of late. He's been landing some each-way money. He was second at the Barracuda, start of July, fourth at Memorial, fourth last week. So he has been getting up there just without getting over the line. I think he's a good price this week at 66-1. The other little element is that in Davis Love's Ryder Cup press conference, he actually mentioned Woodland as someone who might be in line for...
Yes, he did.
He did mention a few people, to be fair, but he actually did mention Gary Woodland.
Yep.
And
they should go for someone like Woodland, really, because they stick with the same faces every single time for wildcard picks.
You could see how he'd be quite good, especially in the four balls or something.
Yep.
Like sort of Thomas Peters. He could take the Thomas Peters. Basically, if he wins this week, he would have come fourth and first. And the whole reason why the US have sort of tinkered with their Ryder Cup captain's picks timings is so it can bring in informed players.
Yeah.
So he's got every chance. So it's a big incentive, I think, for someone who's already put down a marker with a fourth last week. If he can follow that up with another big one, he's got to be right in Davis Love's thoughts. So I think big incentive for Gary Woodland. It's a course he really likes. He was interviewed at the end of the Barclays and said TPC Boston is a good course for him, so he's expecting to do well. 12th last year. Not amazing the other two, 3 years, 29th, 41st, 25th, but not bad either. I think he's just close to having a big one there, and his very latest form and stats suggest it might come this week.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I like it. Gary Woodland, 66-1. I'm going with Luke Donald as my number one pick here. 125-1, Luke Donald. He can't feel aggrieved at missing out in of the Ryder Cup, really, because his form has not been good enough for the last 12 months, but... It's a shame he's not on the team because, as mentioned earlier, he's a superb putter with a good Ryder Cup record. I can see him wanting to prove a point this week on a course that clearly suits him. He finished second in the Wyndham a couple of weeks ago, let's not forget, which was a welcome return to some form. And he didn't play badly last week at Bethpage Black in a course where he faltered late. That's a venue that's not really suited to his skill set. He's finished second and third at TPC Boston in 2010 and 2011. I think it's a good price. 125 to 1, Luke Donald is my selection here.
Very good. Very good.
I suppose you could argue that form came when he was world number one, maybe.
That is a very fair point,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, it's still a big price, isn't it?
But at least 125, like,
and
yeah.
If you're talking about scrambling and putting this week, that throughout his career game, has been his game, hasn't it, really?
And Phil Mickelson's, I would suggest.
Yep.
So Phil Mickelson is my second choice, who has won here in 2007, was fourth here in 2012, 10th in 2011, and then, oops, it falls off a cliff a little bit in the last 3 years. Very moderate finishes here in the last 3 years. But I just think he's been in such good form this year that 33-1 is a decent price for this guy who is, if putting and scrambling are important, and I think they are around here, he's second in the strokes gained putting, fourth in scrambling. Good figures around the green. He approached the green, starts the seventh. So we know how well Mickelson's played. We know how great his contribution was to that Troon afternoon. He's 33rd in the PGA after that, which is a little bit disappointing, but maybe understandable, only 2 weeks after that mammoth battle. 13th in the Barclays at the weekend. He's due a win on tour, he really is. I think, I'm hoping that he bounces back to his old form here in Boston, where it looked like it was a course that he loved at one point, but maybe he's more focused this time than he was maybe in the last 3 years going into the playoffs. So he's looked good on those key starts for me. I like his par 5 scoring as well. He's high on the birdie averages, which will be something that you need. And of course, as I've just said, his putting and his scrambling are very good this year.
Number one scoring average as well.
Yeah.
It's a big factor.
I like his price at 33s.
Dave?
Yes, I do like his price at 33s as well. I was quite close to Mickelson. I've backed him numerous times down the years, and these sort of prices, it's good, isn't it? 33-1. I think he was a big price when he won in 2007. I think his form might have been not as good.
Right.
I don't remember backing him then. The one I've gone for is another previous champion here, Charlie Hoffman.
I looked at him.
Yeah, I think a few people might be on him this week, maybe. Hits it a long way, which I like. 39th in driving distance. He was 7th in scrambling at Bethpage last week, where he came tied 13th, which was nice. But it's the course form that really does it for me with him. He won this in 2010 with a stunning final round 62. Then last year, he was actually 3 clear at halfway. He opened 67-63, so... It's a course he absolutely loves. He says he likes the sight lines off the tee. He reckons he makes more putts on these greens. So everything just plays into his hands, I think. His birdie stats this year aren't that great, but I think on this course, expect him to rack up those red numbers. And just nice progressive form. 25th at the Travelers, tied 13th at the Barclays. He's just rounding into some nice numbers ahead of one of his favourite events of the year. And I think 66 is okay, partly because... I have doubts over a fair few of the market leaders.
Do you?
Mm. Rory particularly. Dustin Johnson, not quite on it, I don't think. Spieth was a bit better last week, but he's not the Spieth of last year. Day's driving was poor last week.
It was abysmal, wasn't it? I think he talked about that in detail.
So,
but
that's no sort of price. Even I think he'll
get away with it.
It's not important here, is it?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Day... won at all. It wouldn't shock me in the slightest, even though he drove the ball deplorably last week.
But there did seem a spell where it just seemed they were taking it in turns to win those big guns, and maybe it's just, I think it's a bit more open at the minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. But Day could easily win this week. Johnson just looked a bit rusty last week, I thought, having backed him. Spieth was very interesting, I thought. If he'd have been a bit bigger than 12s, I might have been lured in by him, because he's got a fourth here, hasn't he, on his debut,
start,
I think, wasn't it?
That was that amazing final round, wasn't it? I think he did shoot 63 in the final round when playing alongside Mickelson.
Yeah.
I think that just rings a bell. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
His scrambling and putting are important, as they usually are here. He's not a great greens in reg man, obviously, but he could play well, I think. Yeah. Adam Scott could go very well, but just isn't putting well enough to get you over the line.
He basically said he hasn't putted any good since the Masters, which is quite, set, isn't it, as a long time.
He ticked all my criteria other than the putting, I have to say.
I've got one more pick here. And
we'd moved on from that. Sorry,
I didn't have a chance to give my last pick. Yeah,
who cares?
I'm going for a man that I don't know if I've ever backed him. I might have backed him once before. Matt Kuchar is my second selection here. 50-1, I think's too big for Kuchar here.
For an Olympic medalist.
Yes, the Olympic medalist. I've got an irrational dislike for Matt Kuchar. I've no idea why, from a betting perspective.
He doesn't win often enough.
No, he doesn't win often enough. He has won seven times on tour, hasn't
he? Correct. So I don't agree with that. I'm just giving you what your rationale.
Yeah, that is my rationality, and that's what I've got in my head anyway. And he likes this place. He's finished in the top 15 four times in the last 7 years at TPC Boston. And in two of the last 3 years, he's finished fourth and ninth. Finish for that bronze medal at the Olympics was superb. And that was the latest in a number of creditable finishes this season. Even if you're not sure he can win, like I'm not, the place looks good value. He's placed in five of his last 12 events on tour, Matt Kuchar.
What, top five?
Yeah, top five in five of his last 12 events on tour. Yeah,
that surprises me.
Yeah, and even if he putted a little bit better in this event, on the PGA Tour that is, and even if he'd putted a bit better in this event last year, he'd have finished higher up the leaderboard. He's 18 strokes gained total this season, 19 scoring average, can make plenty of birdies. I think 50-1 is too big this week on Matt Kuchar.
I don't know whether this is kind of guessing and coming up with something that isn't really there, but it is worth noting that Patrick Reed and Thomas Peters, last week's winners, both played at the Olympics, and they were all full of the joys of it, weren't they? So maybe there's just a little feel-good thing going on.
It wouldn't surprise me if Kuchar, that's
actually got a medal, must be feeling.
It's those intangibles, isn't it? The stuff that you can't measure.
Not as well as Stenson, though. He'll finish second.
That's true. That could play
into his hands as well. Yeah.
So those are the picks complete. I mean, we've got six different golfers running for us in this event, so I suppose not many others we want to mention. But are there any that stood out to you, Mike?
Patrick Reed could play well again, I guess. I did mention Scott, but his putting just isn't good enough at the moment. Hoffman was one of my two outsiders that I looked at. The other one I mentioned a lot this year, but this is the kind of course that does suit him, I think. Jason Duffner, wouldn't surprise me to see him play well. I'm happy with the two I've picked. I hope Stenson's fit.
Yeah, Charlie Hoffman was probably the one that came closest for me outside of the two guys that I've gone for.
As an outsider for me, Sean O'Hare, I think, is a fairly obvious name to call.
Yeah.
Second last week, and he's got three top tens at this course, including fourth last year.
80-1.
Yeah, so 80-1, just purely on course and current form. It's not often you get that combination and you find someone at 80s.
He did kind of get an easy place, though, didn't he? Came from quite a bit back in the lead.
Yeah, no pressure on him,
No pressure. So, but other than that, yeah, his form figures here are good, aren't they? So,
I thought it was quite a strange finish to that event because Patrick Reed slightly faltered and no one really put him under any pressure. He played alongside Ricky Fowler, who bombed out in that final round. It was a strange final round, I thought, on Sunday night. There were no real charges from those guys that were in contention. It was players coming from further back in the field.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It'd be interesting to see how Fowler plays this week.
Because he basically knocked himself out of an automatic pick, didn't he? Although, surely he'll get one.
He's got to get a wild card pick, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think the commercial element alone will get him in, don't you? Yeah.
I think probably so. Okay, who's the player you don't want to win this week, Mike?
In this event, it would probably have to be Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, I'd probably go... I want him to win now, but Charlie Hoffman was the last one off my list in the... If my two guys don't win, obviously, one of those two.
Yeah.
Charlie Hoffman. And I think in the European Masters, Rickard Karlberg it would have to be.
I would go Tyrrell Hatton because his price is sort of just... You can't, can you? But I think he's got a massive chance.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing with him, he hasn't played for a while. That's probably that and his price.
Okay, let's recap the selections, Mike.
Alex Noren at a point win and half... A point each way, actually. Why not on him? And... The American event, Henrik Stenson at 16s and Phil Mickelson at 33s. Another point each way on all of them, I guess.
You having your each way double, Henrik Stenson and Alex Noren?
It's tempting, two Swedes, isn't it?
Yeah, two Swedes for 16-1.
I might do that, actually. I'll tweet if I do.
I'm going Omega European Masters, a point each way Richard Sterney at 33-1, point each way Paul Laurie at 80-1, And in the Deutsche Bank, point each way, Luke Donald at 125-1. Point each way, Matt Kuchar at 50-1.
In Switzerland, lovely views. My old mate, Richie Ramsey, point each way at 33. In TPC Boston, I shall go for Charlie Hoffman, a point each way at 66. And also Gary Woodland, my nap, one point each way at 66 as well.
Remind me, what does the next event in the FedEx go down to?
70.
Cut it to 70, then so 30.
30 go
they?
From this.
And it's a crooked stick, isn't it? Which I think is it's a big hitter's course. It's where Daly won the USPGA.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Back in the day. 91, was it?
90. I was thinking 92, but it could have been 91,
I think.
No
idea.
I'm going
91.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter. At D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Follow at Will Hill Bet as well. They'll be tweeting out the podcast, no doubt. If you want to check this out on iTunes, please do. Type in William Hill and you can subscribe to get it delivered weekly. And it's also available at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. Enjoy the golf this week. Remember, the Omega European Masters Thursday morning start, with the Deutsche Bank Championship a Friday start this week. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, and we'll speak again next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.